Glenn Robertson.
Pretty good this morning.
Well, you know, we got out at we adjourned the meeting at 6:59 last night. I don't know if it's a
shut up
record
really?
For this council. But I kept looking at the clock, thinking we may get out of here before 7, and
you did.
We got it done.
Awesome.
We should have had Guinness Book on site.
You know, it helped that we had a much shorter agenda, and we had two council members that were not in attendance, and it just was a very quick...
Now, where were they at?
Texas Municipal League Annual Conference in Austin.
Okay. That's nice. So they're out there...
who attended that?
Victor Hernandez and Karen Gibson.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they stay in the same hotel? Probably right next door to each other. Just kidding.
What does that have to do with it?
Well, I was just, you know, Victor's such a friendly guy. Anyway, I guess the big thing that, the front burner is the Electric Utility Board. And I guess you guys are still, I don't want to say it's fallout, but it's kind of front burner with the Dwight McDonald thing and, you know, the Mark McDougall thing and the Carol McDonald thing, no relation. Now you have four that are up for appointment in November. So you still, I guess, got a lot of people that are kind of upset. This is one thing that that I thought was a little out of whack this last week. Okay, my mom got her letter in the mail that says... The letter about the billing.
Underpayment? Yeah. I mean, underbilling?
Well, I mean, you know, it's more than, you know, it was more than 90 days after the fact.
Correct.
You know? Mm-hmm. But then we were sitting there going, okay, 100,000 meters, 10%, that's 10,000 meters, 46 cents, so that's $4,600 bucks of postage, man. Why didn't they single out the bills, you know, or slip it in with the bill?
You know, and I don't know why they didn't do that. That was decisions. The board decided, voted to allow people to, number one is they voted to collect the underbilling. Then they voted to spread it out over 6 months beginning November 1st. And I'm sure from that point, staff decided how they would notify people.
This is one interesting thing, and I don't know if you know this, and if you've probably had the discussion with city attorney and counsel for UB and whatnot, but we had a call one day. We were talking about this, and the guy, his name was Steve, and Steve called in and said that the bill that they send you is kind of like a contract, and once you pay your bill, then that would be that. Now, I do know that one time when I had a problem getting a company to adjust a bill that did not put the correct stuff, I bought some ads in a telephone book one time. And they kept telling me that they were going to make adjustments, and they kept sending me the wrong bill, and the bill was wrong. And so I consulted an attorney, and the attorney said, don't pay the bill until the bill's correct. That being said, if you get a bill that is incorrect and you pay it, is that not, you know, Steve's comment was, well, that should have been it.
Well, and you know, my take on that would be don't take advice from people that call in the radio shows. Don't take legal advice from radio show callers. That's not a contract. It's a bill from LPNL. You know, I won't go into whether or not it's right or wrong for them to collect that underbilling, but I don't think there's any basis for your caller's statement.
Well, and you know, I think it was a good point, but you know, it's just one of those things. Like, you wonder, because I mean, you own and operate a business,
yes,
and I own and operate a business, and if I underbilled somebody for something by a percentage, which I, you know, it happens on a regular basis because, you know, things can get a little complex. If I underbill somebody, I mean, they say, well, we underbilled these people, what do we do? And it's just like, well, you know, I mean, we discovered it, you know, 60 days later, so we just let it go. I mean, because I don't want to make my customer mad.
Yeah.
You know, in the AUB's argument in their defense, and I don't know, you know, I don't have all the facts in front of me, but their argument was this is a public-owned utility. 44,000 meters out of a little over 100,000 meters got underbilled. If they did not go back and collect the underbilled, then you've got a portion of your community subsidizing another portion. Mm. And so I think there is two sides to this story. I received several of the letters for several different properties that I have. I thought it was a poorly written letter, and it showed no backup. It just said you owe X amount mm-hmm. of dollars. But, you know, it's easy for me to sit here in this chair and criticize them when I was not actively involved in that decision.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think the thing was it's going to be, if it's over like $16 or something, it's going to be split up in six payments.
Correct.
You know, over 6 months.
You know, the thing that our customers need to know is if you're a commercial account and you were underbilled, you do have the option of paying it all at once if you're on a cash accrual method. Because if you are and you spread it out over 6 months, you're going to have part of your 2013 expenses in 2014.
Right.
And it there could be some tax consequences.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you'll have to notify LPL.
770-5790, you got a question or comment from Mayor Glenn Robertson. Brian, good morning. You're on.
Yes, sir. I just had the question that all of this originally started because they billed some winter rates during the summer. And I don't understand what the point was in them waiting on the billing rates to go back to the winter cycle to start billing, because that's what put them there to begin with. And if they were going to do that, then what was the point in collecting the money from the people?
Well, you know, and here again, it's hard for me to speak for the LPNL staff and for that board. I am an ex officio member of the board, but I don't get to vote. They did not switch the rates. They did bill about 44,000 people at the incorrect rate, and that board felt like they needed to collect that out of fairness to the other 60,000 meters that weren't underbilled. Now, I'm not saying I agree with their decision, but that was the logic behind it.
Does that answer your question, Brian? I mean, I know it doesn't really, I know it's one of those ambiguous situations where it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of a thing, you know?
Well, I think, Brian, your concern is that they started the new rate increase during the summer instead of waiting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if that's your question, then I will tell you I agree with you 100%. And that was, of course, I've got two problems with the rate increase. Number one is the timing was terrible. And number two, we did not need that big of a rate increase. LPNL lost $3.2 million in the previous year. They instituted a rate increase that will raise revenues $18 to $20 million. It doesn't add up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's kind of my issue with it, too. I'm an LPNL customer, and I got real issues with their billing system myself. And to be honest with you, I'm going to sell my house and get out of LPNL's district because of it. So good luck to you guys.
Hey, good for you, man. Hey, Brian, thanks for your call. I know that's it's kind of difficult and it doesn't make sense because it's one of those situations where, you know, it's November and you're seeing geese fly north. It doesn't make any sense at all. Glenn Robertson back on KFYO. Good morning at 7:18. This is, you know, a huge issue, and I'll let you comment and start from the beginning, but where we are with this Martin McDougal, Carol McDonald thing is you guys had, I guess, removed Dwight McDonald as one of the EUB members because he was a double agent, a magistrate for the city, part-time job at night. Heck of a part-time job, 28G. You know, that's not a bad part-time job. Anyway, the appointments are coming up for the EUB
right. In
November. You got four people up. Who are the four people that are up for reappointment?
Well, there was actually five, but one of them was Dwight. We've got Mark McDougal, Carol McDonald, the chairman, Gail Kring, and I'd have to go back and look at my list to see who the fourth was, but I know that those three are up. You know, this started when the city attorney discovered that Dwight was a magistrate. Nobody knew it. He did not disclose it on his application. There is a spot on there that asks if you have any conflict. He just didn't answer the question. Sam came to council, actually came to me and said, you know, we got this situation, but I've talked with the gentleman and he says he's going to resign and we're just going to go down the road. Well, for whatever reason, Dwight decided not to resign, decided to come to council, have his little 3-minute rant, And we voted to remove them from the board, and then that started an outcry of people, well, why are Mark McDougall and Carol McDonald allowed to serve? And the answer is simple. Our city attorney has not advised us that they're ineligible to serve. We can't make that decision as a council. We don't have the authority to make that decision. Both of those gentlemen were appointed by a previous council that supposedly did their job in vetting them when they put them on the board. Now, if our city attorney comes back and says that either of them or both of them are ineligible, then we'll get it on the agenda and the council will vote. But at this point, nobody has given any evidence to this council that by the charter, by law, that either one of these gentlemen can't serve.
Okay.
And that was the issue with Dwight, but he legally could not serve. And we need to remember, Dwight's an attorney, so he should have known that.
Right.
Right.
So when did the reappointments happen?
In November.
Oh, okay.
And so it'll be in our probably in our first meeting in November. We'll have those on the agenda. And these board members are eligible to serve 3 terms of 2 years. Now, it's up to the council every 2 years to either reappoint them or to appoint somebody in their place. I don't know how it will go. There's been a lot of controversy. There's been a lot of negativity. There's been pressure. We had somebody last night say that we needed to remove everybody. Well, that's a reach.
That's pretty drastic.
Well, and the only way we could do that is if we had cause, and we do not have cause to do that. So it'll be curious to see how people vote.
Well, relatively speaking, the issue with McDougall, and there is a difference between Mark McDougall being on the EUB and being a vendor and being an employee.
Well, I would think so, but here again, I'm not an attorney, and you know, I think a lot of it depends on how Mark is, if he's an employee of their corporation and how much stock he owns in their corporation. And there's a lot of legal questions that, quite frankly, we need to let the lawyers handle.
Right.
And they're looking into that?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so just real quick, are we going to reappoint them or not reappoint them?
You know, I don't know. I know how I'll vote. I'm going to vote to reappoint them.
KFYO, good morning. It's 7:35 with Tom and Laura. Still coming up this morning on Lubbock's First News. What we got?
Well, it's Floydada Pumpkin Festival weekend.
It officially Pumpkin Days.
Yeah, Kim Perales will be in to tell us about all the activities and festivities going on in Floydada.
Yeah, she's a nice lady, the brand new chamber manager there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
And we have pumpkins a little closer to Lubbock, too, with a pumpkin trail is just around the corner. And Nancy Neal with Lubbock Parks and Rec will be visiting with us about how you can pledge pumpkins. They are still needing several pumpkins in order to make the trail as big as it was last year.
Yeah, last year we had 20,000 people attend in 3 days, and that attendance was up like over 5,000 people from the year before. So great family event, good time, and we're going to check in with Nancy in just a few minutes. KFYO at 7:37, Tom Collins, Laura Mack, Glenn Robertson, our mayor. Good morning. Hope you're having a good one so far. Welcome to the weekend. Mayor, have a call for you. Good morning. You're on.
Yes, I just have a question. I felt like I had originally overpaid. And, well, I received a bill stating that I had underpaid. And when I look at my bills, it looks like my rate was highest on the bill. I felt like I'd overpaid. And, well, it seems like there's a limited recourse. I don't feel like when you talk to the folks there, it seems like they stonewall you almost is the way it comes across. I mean, I wanted to talk to them about changing a analog meter back. A digital meter into an analog meter because they had changed me to a digital, and I really don't like them. I wanted an analog that I could read and know it would mechanically be sound. I don't know why they changed it, but they don't answer questions there. They just keep to their story. Is there recourse? What ways can we go to talk to somebody who can get things done?
Well, you know, the sad news is I don't know that there is recourse. I received the same letters that you did. And, you know, my problem with this letter is it didn't explain, you know, when I was underbilled, it didn't say it was this month. Here's why. Here's the rate you were charged. Here's what you should have been charged. It just said you were undercharged and we're going to bill you. You're not the first person to tell me that the customer service has been unresponsive to these type of problems. You know, I wish I had a good answer for you, but when we set LPNL up the way we did in 2004, we gave that board authority for day-to-day operations, and this is one of those situations where, quite frankly, your council, the only thing we can do is look at the reappointments, but that board has the right to make these decisions, and this decision has been made, and even though I don't agree with it, it is what they're going to do going forward.
Mayor, I appreciate you being forthright about that. I mean, it's angst in my heart when I'm trying to make things right or at least get an explanation so I can feel good about something.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yes.
I do have a suggestion for you as far as your recourse. What you probably need to do is you need to go back to the point where you felt like, and maybe even a year ago, okay? or where you felt like your bill was correct and you were comfortable, reasonably certain. If you'll go back and you'll look at the billing rate and then the meter reads on all of your bills up to the certain point and then kind of get your current meter read from your latest bill and where you're at, because if you were average billed and it wasn't an actual meter reading, you know, that's not going to hold water. No pun intended.
And, well, you know, I actually, on the month that they changed the rate, I actually was only at home for 3 weeks. And for the 3 weeks usage, which we shut everything pretty much down in the house when we left for a week, I had a higher usage on that month than I had in my months where we were there all month long. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. How can this be? And I never really got an explanation.
Hmm. You know, I think that the best thing that you could do is go back, and usually questions create more questions. And if you find a small answer, it leads to another answer or another question. So
you may get an answer, but they may not change your rate,
yeah,
or what you owe.
Yeah. But I mean, at least you'll get the answer for yourself. And if you have something, you find something substantial, I would think, Mayor, that if he found a discrepancy in the meter reads, then they would have to make an adjustment, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know if they'd have to or not. You've got to find somebody at LPNL that's past that first level of customer service, because they've got a real rigid policy from what I understand, and it's very difficult to find somebody at LPNL that you can sit down with and say, here's my issue, look at my bill, explain to me how this happened. And I think part of the reason it's so difficult is there was 44,000 meters underbilled. So there's a lot of people in this situation, and there's not enough manpower to handle the problems.
And it wasn't the customer service rep's fault.
Well,
too.
It wasn't. No,
so
it was
people
not.
People need to remember that when they talk to the customer service.
Hey, Ken, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate
you. You bet.
Thank you.
Hey, before we go to break, I wanted to ask you, hit a drive-by question from a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a few minutes ago, you know, Glenn, we'd ask you about the reappointment of McDougall McDonald, you know, Carol McDonald, Mark McDougall, going forth. You said that you would vote to reappoint them, but we had a drive-by caller that had a question, wasn't able to stay on the line with us, but said, why would you, Mayor, wish to reappoint members of the city or members of the EUB when you didn't agree with some of the decisions that they were making on this billing thing and their choices with the LPNL snafu?
You know, if I find somebody that agrees with me 100% of the time, I know that one of us is lying. There's not going to be anybody I agree with all the time. We have to remember that this billing, the rate increase, was not the electric board's final decision. It was the city council. The decision, the council's made poor decisions. I question our council's decisions more than I do this board. We need to remember this board is comprised of people that are volunteering their time. Most of these issues that people are upset about, the majority of them are due to council action, not board action. And, you know, it's I'm not going to vote to remove somebody because I don't agree with them. I just don't think that's a good reason. I think we need good cause. I think disagreeing leads to very good, healthy discussions. And so to remove somebody from a board just because I disagree with them, I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm down with the that a lot of people don't feel like the professional disagreement. They confuse professional disagreements and debate with being confrontational.
Right.
You understand what
Which
I'm saying?
Which we've had several times between you and me on various issues.
No. What? What, people thinking that we're being confrontational?
Yes.
Okay, 7:44, good morning. Good morning, it's 7:49 KFYO, Tom and Laura, Friday. Still to come, we're going to be talking pumpkins and more pumpkins after 8 o'clock. Lynn Robertson in the house. After the city council meeting last night, this one should have been in the Guinness Book of World Records, man.
It was short.
What time did you get out of there?
I swung the gavel at 6:59.
Wow. Nice.
And the only reason I know that, there was quite a discussion of placing the over and unders at 7 p.m. And so if you were on the underside, you were victorious.
Nice.
And I don't know what that over and under stuff means. I just heard that last night.
What it is people making book on when the meeting's going to adjourn.
Yeah, that's it is.
That's essentially what it is. Okay, this was kind of an interesting twist. I don't have a better life, but I'm sitting there glued to Channel 2 and watching City TV. And it was really kind of interesting watching this young guy, Julian Hernandez. He was a guy that he made a presentation. But this was a guy.
Give us the history of this guy. I mean, he's been in city council meetings before.
This is his third time to speak before council. The first time he showed up, he was to speak on the synthetic drug issue.
Mm-hmm.
And was wearing one of the DC style hats and with baggy shorts and just apparent street clothes. And I made the comment after he spoke that the next time, if he wanted to be taken seriously, he may want to take his hat off when he's addressing the city council. And he was offended by the remark. And he came back and spoke to us about two meetings ago and was very respectful. And still concerned about the synthetic marijuana issue. And the young man is passionate about the issue. And then he was
about getting rid of it? Or
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I think has seen a lot of friends, and I don't know all the history, but he's had some issues. And he was back last night in a little bit different demeanor and got to the point where was verbally attacking the majority of the council. And at one point I did interrupt the young man and ask him to please not use profanity, which he immediately stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just write it off as this young man is extremely passionate about the issue and he feels like he's not being listened to and he wants to be heard.
And what was the issue last night?
It's still the synthetic marijuana issue, yes.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting because we had the first meeting. The second meeting, he came back and, you know, he just looked like your average Joe. Last night, he shows up with a ski hat on with these little bobblehead things on top and the strings hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then before he started addressing the council, he said, I'm wearing my coat. Is that disrespectful? And he takes his hoodie off and he's wearing a beater. I don't get it. But that's okay. I guess, you know, you can speak at any time, but it's just kind of sends a mixed message to me as somebody who's watching these meetings, you know? And I know that you know, you think that I'm a sick puppy because I'm, you know, mentally cataloging these city council meetings.
I understand, but I mean, at the same time, how many 19-year-olds have the guts to get up in front of city council and speak about something they feel passionate about?
You've got to give this young man credit for being persistent and being passionate enough to show up at three different occasions to attempt to get city council's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that says a lot for him. It's just, you know, I see the other side of that, too, where if you do want to be taken seriously, I mean, take a little guidance and suggestion and well, you know.
Be bold. 7:53. Good morning. K KFYO 757, Tom Collins and Laura Mack, Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house. Talked to Becky Garza yesterday, Glenn. We got this Gordon Harris guy. He had his third failed attempt on the recall on Floyd Price. And then, you know, there was a quote that said, oh, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Enough is enough. You know, first time, misunderstanding. Nobody's fault. Mm-hmm. Second time is really misunderstanding. Third time, you know, get your stuff in a bucket, man. Come on. You know, it costs, you know, a couple thousand dollars to do this recall thing, man. So what I'm thinking is what we should do is not limit the number of times that you can do the recall, but, you know, as a citizen, you have the right to do that. And you should have the right to do that.
I agree.
But, you know, after you get the second failed recall attempt, it's obvious that you're bewildered and wandering aimlessly about. So, you know, for try number three and subsequent four, five, and six, I'm thinking if you fail, if the recall fails, then the individual should be responsible, or just be responsible, period, for paying for the man hours. I mean, it's ridiculous because that would prohibit some people from utilizing that to further a personal agenda. I mean, come on. You know, Becky Garza told the guy what he needed to do to make it happen after the first time. He didn't do it. Told him after the second time. He didn't do it. Third time. Now he's coming back at us. Get a job, man.
You know, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed as we probably go forward and need to look at the charter. But I've got an issue with, I don't think we can have, you know, unlimited number of recall attempts on a city council member. And the other thing we need to look at in regards to Victor Hernandez is timing. If you've got less than a year on your term, I don't know that we'll allow it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Glenn Robertson, Mayor of Lubbock, Texas. Tom and Laura will be back talking pumpkins after top of the hour. Good morning.